Welcome to another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast. I'm Beto Duran, Ricky Romero. It says Josh Soli's name there. We're trying to figure out exactly the connection. We missed you guys. We haven't done a podcast in a while because Ricky's been busy dominating Canada. I've been busy dominating golf course. And we're going to see if Farmer Toli can figure it out. Toli, can you hear us? You see him on the screen? Doesn't hear us? No. Oh, he doesn't hear us. But who is joining us right now is the man that we've had on before, Manolo Manny Barreta. And the reason we're having Manny on is because we saw him in episode 39. Was it November, October, whatever it was, back in San Antonio. And then all of a sudden, I got COVID. The world fell apart for me. And then Manny gets called up to the big leagues. And everybody was fired up. Let me give you guys the intro. Manny Barreta, Ricky, a friend of ours, after 14 years after he was drafted by the Yankees in high school, made his major league debut last week with the Baltimore Orioles, got the victory, wore number 84. So we wanted to have him on right now, just a couple minutes as he's trying to figure out exactly where he is in life right now. But we were so fired up, Manny. We were acting like, I've never played anything beyond high school, but I was acting like I was in Camden Yards with you. Manny, thanks for joining us right now. And where the heck are you? I know you're in a car.
Oh, actually, I'm just leaving the airport right now. I got sent down. I got sent back down. You know, this life of a non-established major leaguer. Got sent down. I'm back down in Norfolk, Virginia. So I had a couple rough games. You know, happens.
Nope.
So now I'm back here.
So they sent you back down?
Back in AAA. Yeah, back down, man. I'm a minor leaguer again. Hey,
they send him back down, but look at that smile. He's glowing now. He's a big leaguer. He's a 40 man.
Yeah,
now.
Dude, honestly,
they're coming out of the 40,
I'm still a 40 man. First time ever in my life. it's cool, you know. I mean, I kind of expected it with a couple rough outings, and you know, just got to get better. Got to get better. It's part of baseball, and I think we all, Ricky, you probably understand it. Josh, I don't know too much about Josh, but I think he plays some big league, so he understand it. It's part
all right,
of
I got it.
Life.
Yeah, no, and you know, we spoke about it yesterday. It definitely is different, you know, when you get a first taste of it, you kind of start seeing, you're like, whoa, okay. I can't get away with certain things that I did maybe in Mexico, maybe in AAA. It's different. It's a whole different ball game under the lights. You get three tiers now. The stadium looks humongous, all that stuff. But as soon as you get over that kind of stuff, man, and you realize that, hey, I belong here and I'm just as good as all these guys, then everything kind of turns around. But that was fun, man. I know our group chat, every single one of us was like, oh, like we were so – happy for you, man. Like, we just kept like texting back and forth as we were like, Manny's obviously you're not in the group chat, but we were like texting like you were listening to us or something. I know Alex Sanabia was really happy, and Ace and everyone, man. We were all like jacked up to watch you, and that's cool, man, because we all know the story. We all heard the story in that episode that you shot with us a couple months ago, and it's just, dude, to see that and see it come into fruition, and then next thing you know, we're seeing you on TV. Like, it, honestly, you know, and I root for the Blue Jays, but, man, tell you what, that was probably the first time in a long time that I didn't want to be good against you. They already were, like, killing it, so I was like, please, Manny, just 1, 2, 3. Come on, let's go.
Man, you know what? You know what's crazy is that, like, I felt more nervous on my second outing than I did my first. I think the first one was just like, all right, I gotta show it. And it's crazy because, like, I was telling them, like, if I would have screwed up the first one, I think they would have understood. But then I screwed up the second one and the third one. You know, they kind of, you know, they were like, ah, man. But it was a cool experience, you know. And it's like you said, you know, I've been working for this for my whole life, and just never I was never sure it was going to happen, and we talked about it here on the podcast. And you know, this is
I really want to hear what how did it go down. Like, that's what everyone
hold on real quick, Manny. Tolly, can you hear us now?
I'm here. I'm live.
All right. Let's start it over. We have some technical difficulties because we've been a month, but Josh Tolley is here. Tolley, meet Manny Barreda, who made his major league debut with the Baltimore Orioles. Manny's background, if you're listening first time, drafted 14 years ago out of high school by the Yankees. Was in the Yankees organization, the Braves organization. The last few years have been dominating in Mexico. Went to the Olympics this summer. Was with the Braves a couple years ago in minor leagues, but said, hey, I can stay in Mexico and make a bunch more money. Forget it. It's almost like he had given up on the big league dream and just said, hey, let me go make some money in Mexico, which a lot of guys do. Totally, we've talked about this, guys that go to Japan or Mexico, wherever they may be. But last week, he stuck it out in AAA, got called up, made his big league debut at Camden Yards, and got the victory after the Orioles decided to put up like a 10 spot in the ninth inning and gets the big league dub. There he is. So the reason we want to have him on the podcast today is just to give this guy a little bit of shine. And, you know, in the podcast, we always talk about how chasing your dream, getting after it. But totally, a guy who 14 years ago, you know, the world, just like you, drafted out of high school. Hell yeah, I'm going to the big leagues. You got there quick. This guy took 14 years. You can understand that grind, can't you?
Yeah, Manny, I did a little research when I heard you were coming on. It's nice to meet you first and foremost. But 32 years old, right? Is that correct? Making your major league debut? I think that speaks volumes to all these guys that feel like there's no hope when they're 28 and they're grinding in AAA. So hats off to you. Nice job. And many, many more starts to come.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you. Yeah, 32, about to be 33 next month. And yeah, like you said, you know, I had a couple guys who text me that were in AAA, and guys that aren't necessarily prospects text me like, hey, dude, thanks, man. You're just, you know, it's just an inspiration to us. And I was like, dude, it's just, if I can do it, you guys can do it. I'm new to this organization. And just to get opportunity, like, you know, and at this point in my career, I think, like, 32 years old, not too many teams are willing to give 32-year-olds an opportunity, especially like with never making it to the big league. So it is cool, you know. It is like something that I would never thought would happen, especially all those years, you know, being in Mexico. Like, I think guys in Mexico are kind of forgotten. I think a lot of guys, you know, they write us off because we're in Mexico and they don't see it as a competitive league or as competitive, but I mean, it's just as competitive as it is over here, you know?
And I'll continue to say this. The first time I saw Manny pitch in TJ, because that's where I ended my career, I was like, what the hell is this guy doing here? Like, what is he doing here? I mean, great stuff. I watched him throw a no-hitter there. And I always used to tell him, like, dude, you have the stuff. Like, why get out of here. Like, go play in the States and go chase that dream. And I know he did, like you mentioned, Beto, he went with the Braves. It didn't work out. Gets a chance with the Baltimore Orioles. And again, it's all about the perseverance and being like determined to like to knock that door down and say, you know what, I'm going to get to the big leagues. And he did. And it, like I said, it's cool, man. Like, I was so happy for him. And he knows how happy I am for him. We had conversations where he was possibly thinking about leaving, you know, and going back to Mexico and all that. And I was like, stick it out, man. Like, you just never know. You just never know. And then, yeah. Boom, called up to the big leagues. Now we're sitting here talking about that beautiful memory that he's going to have forever.
Yeah, like Ricky said, man, like a couple months ago, I was actually thinking about just going back to Mexico. I didn't think this was going to happen. I was having a really good year at the beginning, and it just wasn't happening. Like, you know, you see guys get called up, and I mean, I'm at that age where realistically I was happy, man. I was happy that guys were getting chances, and there's some guys that deserved it. And I know how much it had been a struggle for me, and for guys that you know, deserved it to get called up. Like, I was happy for them. But I mean, it was kind of like disheartening to like be like, damn, is that ever going to be me? Is that ever going to be, you know, me, the guy that gets that call? But, you know, luckily I talked to Ricky, I talked to freaking Sanabia, I talked to a couple guys that, like, you know, they just kept me, like, you know, they just kept me focused and they kept me here. I talked to Ricky a few times, like, hey, dude, I need help. Like, what do you think? Like, I have this offer from Mexico. I have this going on here. What do you think? And you know, it would always be like, hey, dude, you worked your ass off to be there, to be an affiliate in baseball. Just stick it out. You never know. And, you know, I'm lucky to have people like that, you know. And I told one of my friends, I was like, hey, dude, I'm just lucky to be surrounded by people who care, by people who actually want the best for me, you know. And that's how it is, man. Because if it wasn't for that, then, you know, I wouldn't be here.
Before we get into, like, what happened on opening day, I mean, your debut, all that other stuff, Ricky was telling us that, you know, okay, so the timeline for you, you're with Team Mexico, you go to the Olympics, you come back to the minor leagues, and you were really, how close were you to saying, forget organized baseball, forget the Orioles, and let me just go back to Mexico?
How close? I'm not going to lie. I actually called the Orioles. I called the scout who signed me. I called whoever I could call up, like the I think it was like the director of minor league baseball. And I called him and I told him, hey, you know what? It's not working out for me. I'd like to get my release so I can go back to Mexico. And granted, yeah, I'm not going to disclose like the figure, but I was getting pretty good money like to go back. Like they were offering me, you know, a significant amount that I was just like, you know what? Like, you know how it is here in baseball, Ricky and Josh, like, it's not easy. Even if you're making a certain amount of money, it all goes down the drain when you have to pay rent, when you have to pay, you know, clubhouse dues, when you have to do all that stuff, and you're still having to pay for like a mortgage back home and stuff like that. You know, it is tough. It's not just money that you're pocketing. So I was just like, you know what? I'll just go back to Mexico. I'll pocket up this money because I mean, right now I'm living close to the stadium or whatever. So it's just like I was just strictly going to the money. I mean, at 32 years old, I think there's not much left to do in baseball but to collect money if that's a thing, you know. But yeah, you know, I called them. Luckily, they also told me, hey, dude, you have a chance here. You have a chance. And I was like, do I really? Like, do I asked that. I was like, do I really? Because I see everything happening around me. And I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that's true. And a lot of times affiliated teams will tell you, hey, no, you know, we see you as this and that. And they'll just be blowing smoke up your butt. But, you know, luckily, like, these guys were not lying. And I'm thankful for that, too, you know. These guys from day one, they told me straight up.
You got called up, I went back. I also have that conversation that we had, and I went back and reread it all, and I was like, damn, like, you know, good thing I told, and like I tell everyone, and Josh knows about this because he's dealt with various organizations in his career, communication's key. And the more you communicate with these guys and the front office, like if you were to just pack up and leave, then you leave a sour taste in your mouth and you're never seeing affiliated ball ever again. I told you, TJ's always going to be there. Mexico is going to be there. It's not going to go anywhere. Affiliated ball, it ends at one point, you know, and if you left on a sour note, it would have been tough for you to come back. And that's why, like I said, communication is always goes big time when it comes to those farm directors and whoever you can get a hold of to get certain information.
Well, I definitely agree with Ricky, right? Just knowing your history and track record, Manny, is Mexico. I feel like you could pitch there until you're 50 or until your arm falls off, right? that's always there. But I can sympathize with where you were, because sometimes you never know if they're telling the truth, right? Because they need an arm in AAA. And what happens if I release you? They may not have anybody in AA that's ready. So you sit and you say to yourself, damn, are they lying to me? Are they telling me the truth? Because let me tell you, it doesn't always work like this, how it worked. And hats off to the Orioles for being upfront and honest with you, saying, hey, hang tight with us for a little bit. And you having the courage to say, yeah, I'll write it out. I'll give you guys another couple weeks. But it's hard. It's hard to kind of siphon through the BS when you get into affiliated ball.
And Tolley, you've seen guys like that a lot too, Tolley, right? Last year, Tolley was in the Yankees organization, and how many guys were trying to figure out, should I go somewhere else? Because you've said it. At this age, you got to worry about making the money, right, Tolley?
That's right, Manny. You nailed it, because at the end of the day, it's money in your pocket, because I'm 34. I had just stopped playing, and – yeah, make every stinking dollar you can make, no matter how you make it. I mean, that's There's no doubt. Otherwise, you'd be like me. I'm roofing and farming right now. Yeah. So
he's got a farm.
You're in a good spot. You're in a good spot, man.
No, yeah, but and what a summer he's had too. Totally. I mean, to go to the Olympics, you know, go pick Team Mexico and then come back and then make his debut. You can't script a better story. You know, obviously 14 years, it's a grind. It's a long time. But, man, I feel like, Manny, and you probably can talk more about this, but I feel like you couldn't have scripted this script any better for you.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, I was telling my wife, and, you know, I did an interview, I think, after the game, and it's just like it was something, like, God had for me, you know, to make my debut, to get a W after we were down – I think we were down like 4-0, to score that many runs and to score just enough runs because we ended up winning the game like 9-8 or something like that. It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. It's just something that, you know, I'm lucky. I'm blessed to have an opportunity to count that, you know, to say that story. And like you said, just, you know, I thank God for giving me the patience to stick this out. Because, you know, everybody's like, hey, you know, 14 years, what a grind. I will not lie. Like, the first I was 18 years old. I was playing baseball. I was getting paid $600 every 15 days to play baseball. I mean, I didn't have any bills back then. But then afterwards, when you go from prospect to suspect, you know, that's when it gets hard. And then when you're like in your last year of your minor league contract and you're still getting paid $600, like, yeah, that's a grind. You know, that is a grind. But, you know, everybody's like, hey, you know, you were in Mexico. What a grind. Like, no, Mexico is actually my savior. Like, Mexico is actually, like, Ricky, you've been there, dude. Like, there's guys down there that make some money. And I was making money.
You're out of there.
Dude. Totally.
Yeah, and it was cool, man. It was cool.
You know how you say you're a god in Venezuela, JT?
Yeah,
Mexico. Manny Pereira is what Josh Soli is to Venezuela.
Totally. I love that.
Let me tell you this, Tolly. There is a thing called, there's a hashtag called Manny Day. I'm like, what is going on here? So when he would pitch for Toros or Culiacan, it's Manny Day, Manny Day. And I started seeing this Manny Day hashtag when he's pitching with the Orioles. I'm like, what's going on here? This dude was on the side of the team bus in Tijuana. He had billboards. Wow. So
yeah, you can pitch there your whole life. Hey, you can be the pitching coach there maybe while you're pitching.
Exactly. So for him, but that's what it is. For him to say, you know what, I'm gonna bet on myself right now, one last shot. All right, so let's fast forward a little bit to Baltimore. Manny, I'm gonna show you a couple pictures right now. You posted this on your Instagram, and this right here, you walk in the locker room and you see your name on the Orioles jersey. What did you feel?
Dude, that gives me chills because
Did you know anybody?
Dude, I knew half the team just because half the team was already down here, who had been down here in Norfolk. It was kind of like it was kind of cool, like to and I was telling Cole Sulcer, a guy that I didn't know, but he's like one of the veteran guys there. He's a veteran with like 3 years, you know, which but he's one of the older guys, one of like the guys near my age. I was telling him, I was like, dude, that like this is so cool. Like, I've never even been invited to big league spring training, and you know how that is, Ricky. Wow. Like, you get invited to big league spring training, like that's how guys get to know you. You know, like the pitching coaches didn't even know who I was at some point, and you know, I had been like to big league camp, but only as like a little as a backup and all that, like, so that was different. And to see my last name on a jersey, like, I had been to big league like spring training games and I pitched in them, but my last name was never on a jersey. Like, I was always the guy with like number 99 or something.
And you know, last name back. And you have to give the jersey back at the end of the game.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That sucks.
So to see that, like, in my locker and to have, like, you know, because of COVID, we had, like, they were still wooden lockers and stuff, but it was, like, one of those, like, lockers that were kind of set up for, like, the meantime. But it was cool, you know. It was like, damn, like, and I felt kind of like – I remember giving guys crap, like, for taking pictures of, like, you know, themselves in uniform and guys like that. You know how it is. But I took a picture of it, and I told the guy next to me, I was like, dude, is it cool? You think it's cool if I take a picture of you? He's like, dude, take it. And I was like, all right, like, you know, I don't want to be that guy. And I took a picture, and then when it was, I posted it, but then, like, I still had, like, the Orioles still hadn't, like, put out that advance, like, to my contract. So I was like, oh, shit, I better take this down.
Yeah.
I better take this down. I took it down, like, within, like, 5 minutes.
Now, we saw it because I took it, and I took a screenshot, and I was like, it's not official yet, so I knew you were going to delete it.
I'm saying, so you're in Norfolk. How did it work out for you? Like, did you get called in, and what did the manager do anything special? How was the call up?
Well, it was on the off day. We were heading back. My wife and I and my daughter, we were heading back from one of my teammates' apartments because they were like, we were setting up, like, my wife was going to drive with his wife back down to Durham. Like, that was our next road trip. So they were about to, you know, get on the car or whatever. And that night, the manager called me. We were in the car and I was driving, and the manager called me, and I was like, oh shoot. Like, what the heck is this? Like, am I getting released? Like, I mean, I didn't know, you know, I didn't expect to get called up. Like, and the manager called me and he's like, hey, this is a good phone call for you, man. And so I put him on speaker and we were on a stoplight. And that's when he told me, he's like, hey, you're going up to Baltimore. And he didn't tell me exactly, like, he's like, hey, I don't know what the deal is. I know they need a guy. I don't know if you're going up there, you know, for urgency. I don't know what the deal is. And so I was like, I didn't care. I was going to Baltimore. Like, I was going to be there. You know what I mean? I was going to, you know, be in that big league clubhouse and eat that big league spread, which everybody talks about.
So, yeah, you should, hey Manny, you should see my gut from the big league spread now.
Be careful. I ate so much. Yeah, it's tricky, man. I ate so much when I was there, and I was, you know, just trying not to be the guy who took everything, but I did. I'm 32 years old. You probably
got more gear than you've ever gotten in your life, too.
No, that's what's crazy, you know. Like, I didn't. The clubby, like, one of the clubbies is like, hey, what do you need? I was like, I don't need anything, dude. I don't want to, because I know. Oh, man. Like,
all of a sudden.
No, but just, like, hearing the stories of, like, and you can hear, like, the stories of, like, the guys who come down, like, oh, this guy was getting a lot of, like, this guy, they were talking shit about this guy because he was getting a lot of shit, asking for a lot of stuff. And I was just like, I don't need anything. Like, whatever you want to give me, like, I'll take. And they did. They gave me a couple shirts or whatever, but I wasn't going to be the guy who, like, hey, go up there and hey, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that.
You don't want to be that guy. I didn't want to be that guy.
So the pitcher shouldn't be asking for batting gloves?
No. Probably not.
Especially in the American League.
Yeah, so I didn't want to be the guy who took advantage of, like, okay, you know, stuff. And they asked me, hey, do you need anything? And I was like, nah, I'm good. And then he told me, he's like, nah, don't worry about it. I was just like, I still don't, maybe to them it's nothing, but, like, to other guys that have been there longer, they'll be like, hey, you know, the fuck is this guy? But yeah, that, you know, I was just happy to be there, and hopefully, you know, I get back. Like, hopefully, you know, I get
another chance. Don't be just happy to be there, dude. Change that mentality. Yeah. Be fucking ready to stay there, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's cool to be happy to be there, but you want to be big leader, you gotta get, like, beyond that mindset of, like, fuck that, I belong here, you know, with these guys. And
yeah,
it's cool to be happy to be there, but at the same time, you know, you gotta come out razor sharp too against those guys, because those guys beast. And Josh knows on young pitchers that are call ups, they know that they come in throwing 94, 95, and they're gonna sit one pitch, you know?
Yeah.
So it's different. I don't know. I mean, if Tolley has some kind of advice, but that's what I was telling him, Tolley, before you came on air. It's, you know, like, you got to learn how to game plan for these guys when even coming out of the bullpen, being a young guy that nobody knows, hitters, you know, they love fastballs, and if they see you throwing 94-95, they're gonna come at you.
Yeah, I mean, but I think, so, like, Manny, this situation is so unique, right? This is a guy that is 32 years old and had success in Mexico, and yes, I would have and you could probably speak to it because I never played in Mexico, but I'm sure it is different, right? Like a big league hitter trying to navigate the New York Yankees is a hell of a challenge versus you know, any other lineup in Mexico. And
he got the game where the Blue Jays put up 22 runs or whatever, or 14 runs or whatever, whatever it was. Not the Sunday, Saturday game, but they brought him in, and you know those guys were already feasting on the pitchers before.
Yeah, it's hard. Just, I mean, hey, it's hard. But I think having your experience, and I know you're young into the major leagues, but having your experience, just fucking trust what you do, because you're gonna get a lot of noise now. You're gonna have pitching coaches up your ass all the time. You're gonna have everybody telling you this and that. Like, stay the course. You know what to do.
All right, but here it is. Here it is. Ready, Manny? Your first major league strikeout.
Bereda tonight.
Woo!
And he strikes out Taylor looking.
That was probably the best fastball I've ever felt. You know? It was so far. It was like two balls in, but you know, it was just like I mean, throwing strikes the whole.
You were all saying.
Bereda tonight. Mean,
look at this. Look at this. Oh, paint.
And he strikes out Taylor looking.
That was a big league call, man.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. And then to get, you know, it was like I said it to somebody. I was like, when I went in there, I was like, just throw strikes, just freaking throw strikes.
Don't embarrass myself.
And I was nervous, man. I was nervous once I threw that first pitch, and he swung. I think it was like Mondesi. When he swung, I was like, oh, all right, like. Because the day before, another guy debuted, and they swung at it, and they didn't swing at it. So I was like, oh, he'll probably, you know, my first pitch will probably take. Like, I was like, this is a nice guy, you know? And he freaking swung at it. I was like, oh. I was like, oh, so this is how we're going. And I was like, it's on. I was like, it's on, dude. It's on. And then there was like a little chirping from the dugout from them. They're like, oh, give him his welcome. Give him his welcome. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to get after it. Like, I'm not going to worry about anything else. Just fucking command and you know, show these guys.
Dude.
And when I got the strikeout, it was cool, man. It was cool. Everybody was in the top step, like, you know, high-fiving me and stuff. And I was kind of like, I was kind of serious because I was like, damn, like, I don't know. Because it was the eighth inning. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go out there for another one. I didn't throw that many pitches. I knew I was there to cover some innings. So I was like, no, I'm not going to break out a smile. I'm just going to, like, you know, high five everybody. You know, and everybody's like, hey, you know, like, yeah, whatever, you know. Act like I did it before.
Did you get a beer bath?
Dude, I got a beer bath, freaking relish bath, mustard bath, whatever they can find.
Wait, what is that? What?
Cool. Like, what? It was cool. Honestly, like,
wait, what? What is it?
Dude. So I don't know if I should. Should I? Is it something you say? Like, I'm sure everybody's seen it.
What happens
when somebody does something like a good performance or whatever? I think they did it with like no hitters and stuff like that. You go into like the laundry cart. And they ride you around, and they take you into the showers, and they the whole team, whatever, you know, beer bath, like, you know, baby powder, whatever they can find, like, it's on you. Oh, yeah, we had
that's cool.
We had catch up, and it was cool. Like, it was like, damn, like, I waited. I'm 32 years. This is kind of embarrassing to do this at 32 years old. but it was cool, dude. It was cool. Like, the guys were really cool about it, and that's what I was saying, like, man, these guys, like, they're really cool. A lot of guys understood, like, you know, the because a lot of guys I played with and a lot of guys I had, you know, they had been like, dude, you deserve to be up there, like, you know, just, you know, and so a lot of guys understood.
Yeah, and Manny, just let you know, like, while that game was going on, this is, you know how I am, totally, I know somebody everywhere. So I call my guy, Julio Cortez is Associated Press photographer. This dude is from Oaxaca.
How the hell? You know somebody from Baltimore Orioles. Like,
so hey, man of the people. So Julio Cortez just won a Pulitzer Prize for photography. He's from Oaxaca, went to Cal State Northridge, and he's based in Baltimore. He covers the real news, but the last couple weeks he's been doing Oriole games. He's the only photographer there. So I told him, hey, there's a Mexican coming through. He's like, I got him. I'll take care of him. Julio sends me a message. He's like, hey, Manny's warming up. I'm like, oh, okay, because I'm not paying attention to Orioles game. Heck no. And then he's like, oh, they're going to come back. I'm calling it right now. Manny's going to get the W. He did. He called it, and he said it. He's watching right now. Julio said, tell him how I called the W. So me and him are going back and forth. Crazy. And it's like, he's never met you. I even told Ricky, hey, look at the only, tell Manny to find the only Mexican photographer in the stadium and make sure to wave at him so you can get some pictures at him. And what does he do afterwards? My guy Julio becomes your personal photographer. He gets the one of you pitching. That's cool. But
that's sick.
Right? That's cool. But this one right there with your baby girl. Know.
You gotta frame got that, bro.
Like he got some crazy shots, and I'm thank you, Julio. Seriously, man. Like look at I'm that. Really thankful. Like
that's amazing, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really
that's
cool.
That's what it's all about, right there.
Now, and
I told them, I was like, damn, like it's cool to you know to be up here, but to do it with like people who like you know for our raza, like in front of our people, you know, like yeah. That's kind of cool too. You know?
Now, also, oh, actually, I'm sorry. Julio says he's from Mexico City. I'm sorry. He's not Oaxacan. I don't want to upset him there. But, Manny, you've done a lot of things in your life. You talk about your beautiful wife, how she's helping you out. In that stadium, I saw a picture. There must have been like 20 people. That's it, right? Like, after the game is over, and it's just you, your wife, and your baby girl, and you guys have been all over the world, whatever. Like, what was that moment like to share it with her?
It was cool, man. It was cool because, like, when I came back from the Olympics, I was home for a little bit, and then I was like, yeah, you know, once like we settled down in Norfolk, because we had a couple long trips coming up. I was like, I want you to go over there with me and my daughter, and it's cool. Like, she's been through a lot too. You know, she's been staying at hotels and you know, been seeing me from on FaceTime here and there, and she's been through a lot. My daughter doesn't understand, but she's traveled so much now that she's only two, but she's gone everywhere. Puerto Rico, you know, everywhere, like all over the U.S. more than I've ever traveled. I think. and they don't. My daughter doesn't understand, but my wife, man, she's gone through a lot, and it was cool to share that experience with her, and you know, because. It's not just me. It's just like, you know, my wife, my parents, like they lived through this too. Like it wasn't just like, hey, you know, it's my dream. And at some points, like I did feel kind of selfish. I was like, here I am trying to do something that's for myself, you know, to try to be a big leader. And I feel like, like a lot of times I was like, dang, like, am I doing this just for myself? Like, should I just focus on my family, focus on like everybody else's well-being, but they were really supportive about it. My wife was, my family, my parents, like, you know, it's cool, man, and just to repay them this way and my wife to be there, like that was cool. That was really cool. Like that was, you know, I didn't expect to have family there, especially being out here in the East Coast. Like it's tough, you know how it is. Like my parents, we're trying to get like plane tickets and they're like $1,000, you know, next day. And I was just like, nah, you know what? Just hold off. Like it's, you know,
that's cool.
It's already happened.
That's cool. Rick,
it's cool. It's a day you nobody can ever take that away. And we talk about it a lot. It's like anytime you do something special in this game, nobody can take it away from you. So I think that's freaking awesome. And to your point, I have three children of my own and it's like, they all have grown up in ballparks, so it's pretty awesome to see that photo.
Totally,
biggest thing is you'll forever be a big leaguer now, Manny. Yeah. No matter what, you know that'll always be the 1-0 record. The win is always going to be there. The strikeouts always going to be there, and that's you could forever call yourself a big leaguer. You know, I did it. I did it. I experienced it. Boom. You did it, dude. That's the pinnacle, you know, and. And now hopefully we're rooting for you to get back up there and stay there, you know, for the rest of the year, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I mean, I like you said, you know, like my mentality, obviously I was happy to get there.
Yeah,
the next day, like, I was just, all right, I gotta be on. And the next day too, like it hurts to, you know, to give up runs and it hurts to like not do your best up there. It does, like,
I think I would have been able to live with it if it was my first day. But then, like, I've had, like, the last couple days, I'm like, damn, why did I do this? Like, I'm better than that. Like, so it is kind of like, yeah, it happens, you know, it happens. But, I mean, I, like I said, I'm already here. Like, I'm just trying to go day by day with things. Like, I'm not trying to focus too much on, like, hey, next year, you know, this. Like, no, like, right now I'm like, hey, do what you can, like, control what you can control tomorrow, and you know, and that's about it. Like, there's nothing you can control, like, you know, or today, you know, you can't control anything about what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, even if I would have pitched well, I think maybe there was a chance I would have gotten sent down just because they needed all fresh arms. So it's just, you know, I can't control too many other things but what I do that day.
And Manny, what about the support that you got, like, your hometown in where you're Saguaro, is that where you're in Tucson?
Saguarita.
So I would see tweets from there, people there. I would see tweets from people in Sonora. I see tweets from Culiacan. I would see tweets from Tijuana. And you see tweets like you were going viral that day because it's like, wait a minute, this is the story. And it wasn't like your Crash Davis or anything like that, or that guy that they made the movie about, whatever his name was. But like, just get the support. And here's what we're talking about, Tolly. The Tijuana team right there sent a tweet like that. Like, to see that support, Manny, what did that feel like?
I mean, it's crazy. Like, the support I've gotten, like, all the good vibes. Everybody's just, you know, sending their love out here.
How many messages?
It was cool.
How many texts?
I still haven't gotten to respond to all of them. Comments, messages. Like, it's a lot. Like, there was a point where I told my wife, I was like, I think I'm just going to turn off my phone. Like, it's gotten too much. Like, the first night, dude, I literally didn't go to bed till like 5 a.m. trying to, like, you know, trying to respond to some messages and obviously living through that, like, excitement, like, through those emotions. So yeah, it's been crazy. It's been, I'm so thankful for how many people really, you know, wish me the best. And I think, you know, hopefully I inspire some kid somewhere to do something, you know, to become, you know, what they want to become. Because it is, you know, it's not just for myself anymore. I think, like I said, I was like, you know what? For me, it was more like, hey, I got to do this for my parents. Like, I got to do this for my parents who like, you know, they struggled all throughout when I was in high school, middle school, taking me to ball games. And financially, you know how expensive baseball can get now with all these tournaments and you know, just buying me a glove, buying me a bat, like stuff like that. My parents
you'll get a little taste of that nice little big league paycheck, you know, for 3-4 days.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden he froze as soon as we started talking money. Let's see if he comes back. We'll get him back right now. He is frozen, but this is cool. We'll get him back if we don't. I know he's been busy right now, but just what he's doing, what he's going through, it's just totally. I want to get with you. You dealt with these guys last year, guys who were like trying to figure it out. Heck, you right now, you're still not officially retired, but to hear a story like this is what baseball's all about, right?
Yeah, so, you know, he made the comment, like, I hope I can inspire somebody. I'm telling you, he's going to inspire those type of guys, the guys that are 28 to 31, 32, to say, damn, I really do have a chance. Now, there's a part of it, like, you got to be in the right spot at the right time. But this story is unbelievable. When you first sent the thing that he was coming on, I mean, I knew who he was. I didn't know his story. And I had looked up his story, and I was absolutely floored, saying, wow, he's 32. He's going to be 33, I think, October 8th or something.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's insane. Like, he's a year younger than me. In fact, 2 years younger than me.
You know why, JT, because where we're at in today's game, you don't really see this anymore. You know, like when we were coming up, yeah, you saw the good stories, the guys getting called up, getting their first chances and stuff like that. But with the way that young prospects and this and that and analytics and this and all that, like, you really don't see it. So when you see a guy like my story, you're like, damn, this is cool.
Yeah. No, you never hear about it.
And Manny, we know you got to get going. Things going on. But a couple quick questions. All right, Ace of SoCal says, if you can deal with Chango in Tijuana, you can deal with the chirping, right?
Dude, the chirping was nothing. Everybody was like, there's some guys in our bullpen that are like, hey, dude, I wish you know you would have made your debut with more people in the stands. I'm like, nah, that's cool. Like, I didn't need a 20,000 fan stadium full, you know? Like, it was cool, dude. Like you said, like, now looking back at it, like, nothing changes. Like, you make a mistake to these hitters, like, it's going to go a long ways. I think one of the home runs I gave up against Toronto was the hardest ball I've ever felt hit off of me. Like, and I think I got lucky. There was a bullpen there. I also would have been out of the stadium. You know, it is. Like, that's the biggest difference, is not being able to afford making mistakes over the plate to these guys. But baseball's the same. I mean, they're still like, you gotta control the running game. You gotta.
It's the same, and it's we tend as starting pitcher or as pitchers, we tend to give hitters a lot of credit. You know, you can get away with mistakes. You just have to be smart when you make the, like, you just have to be play it a little bit smarter. You know, like, yeah, you can't get away fastball high against a Teoscar Hernandez, you know?
Yeah. Especially the way those guys are hitting, like, they're I mean, we lost the next game like 22-7. Those guys are all on like one cylinder, you know, they're all hitting. And so it's just, you know, you gotta be smarter, gotta take it. Sometimes I think for me it was like, all right, now that I'm back down, driving on the way back, I was like, dude, I just, you know, I gotta take it back down a notch, you know? I'm not like a guy who's gonna overpower guys with fastballs. Don't try to throw fastballs by these guys. Like, I have other things I can rely on, and it just, I think for me it was just like the learning process. Like, I know I'm 33 years old though, so I should know this by now, but it's like a new environment. Like, you know, you just get wrapped up in like the you get wrapped up in what you're going what's going on around you, you know. So hopefully I get that chance, and hopefully, you know, just make those adjustments, which aren't crazy. Like, for myself, it's like, I don't gotta make crazy adjustments. I just gotta be smarter with what I'm doing and think about things before I do them.
There it is.
Right, and that's what I say. Like, when you blocking out the noise, that's one of the biggest things in the major leagues, is there is so much information, so much shit. Now there's two pitching coaches, there's a bullpen coach, excuse me, there's all these guys that are in your ear, and it's like, no, hell, you're 32, you know what the hell to do. Go do exactly what you did in Mexico, and you're gonna have the same results. The guys,
exactly.
It's the same exact thing. Nothing is that much different, other than you can get embarrassed on ESPN in the major leagues.
Yeah.
But I mean, in many, you come from a background where you face big leaguers in Mexico, you know, in winter ball, you face plenty of good hitters there, prospects, older guys that are established. You've done it. I mean, so it doesn't change. 60 feet, 6 inches, it doesn't change.
Manny, I know you're busy. I know you got to get things going, man. On. You got the kids with you. So we're going to let you go, Manny. We will talk to you later on, and we'll do this again soon. But from everybody at the Let's Go Roll podcast, all the fans, all the messages we got, dude, we're real proud of you. I know you're proud of yourself, but as Tolly said, you're an inspiration to people now, man. Like, there's somebody who's like, hey, you know what? I can't give up on my dream, because Manny Barreto's doing it. I can do it too, whatever your dream may be, man. So go take care of that wife and the kid, and we'll talk to you soon, Manny.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Ricky. Thanks, Bethel. Thanks, Josh, man. We'll be talking
later. Nice job,
Manny.
Yeah. All
right. We'll see you soon.
Right. Yeah, man. This guy. All right, now hang up, Manny. Dude.
He's like, no, I'm having too much fun.
Yeah, he's to give you the behind the scenes, he just got his rental car. So he was leaving the rental car spot and driving to wherever he has to go. So we had told him just a couple minutes, but damn, we kept him for 44 because the story's so good, Tolly. It's really inspiring.
It is inspiring. It's like, that's – as much as Ricky, you made a joke about him being a Mexican legend, like, well, not a joke. You made a joke about me being a Venezuelan legend, but it parlayed into his joke. It's true. Like, that's a most people say, and I've heard this from a ton of people, they say when you go to Mexico, it's almost as if you become like, that's the end of your career. Yes, there's good money to be made in great baseball, but like it's not heavily scouted like it used to be. Is that correct?
Yeah. You're correct.
So that's the thing. Yeah,
there's plenty of talent down there, dude. You go down there and you're like, whoa. Yeah, what are these guys doing down here? And it's like, they're just there.
I've heard that. And that's the thing is like for Manny to like have the balls to stick it out in Mexico. I mean, obviously the success helps when you're there, but and for somebody to find them, I mean that to me is just as big of a story as him getting to the big leagues because it very rarely happens, and it's a freaking awesome story, and it's a back page, it's a piece for the back page, and I hope this gets exemplified if people like put a spotlight on what Manny has done.
Yeah, man. All right, so let's catch up with us now. First of all, hi Tolly, how you been?
I'm freaking awesome, dude. I'm dynamite, dude. Playing golf. I'm about done with golf. It's almost hunting season. We're going to Illinois on the 28th of September to go chase around the big monsters and see if we can find one.
Yeah, so last time we did a podcast was August 24th. With thanks to everybody who continues to send me messages on the Let's Go Rookie Road page. Like, hey, when are you guys coming back? We had been planning on doing stuff, but then, you know, Ricky came back from Toronto. I was doing football stuff. Tolly was, like, knocking down chimneys somewhere. So, we're here.
No, I was sitting behind my computer waiting for you to text me.
Well, if you want to tell that story, I guess we will. Last week, we were supposed to do the podcast, and Tolly decides to text us the day of, like, hey, are we guys doing it? Like, wait,
how come I was thrown off by the holiday, dude. The holiday completely threw me off.
Labor Day. Yeah, so we had so Tolly legit showed up to a studio last week while Ricky and I were we at? Were we golfing last week? Or I don't know what we were doing.
I'm sure you guys were golfing, yeah. Winning long drive competition, shit out of the weed.
Well, now you think about it. Well, since you want to talk about the long drive competition, I did bring back this sign for you, Tolly.
Where is my prize?
The ESPN LA Golf Classic benefiting the V Foundation longest drive contest winner Ricky Romero won 3 of them, but they're only going to give him 1 prize. Your boy was crushing it last week, so
I got robbed because they only gave me 1.
Yeah,
what'd you get? 1 sign? You want multiple signs?
No, I just took the sign. I'm not supposed to take the sign. I just took it.
Apparently, I had to leave early, but apparently I won a
rangefinder.
Range, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So we're doing all right. So we'll be all right. So I'll have that coming my way. I they're like, can you give me Ricky's address? I said, sure, no problem. I gave him mine, so we're good to go.
100%. Don't think that. That's not true. That's
100%. Like, one of the holes I absolutely demolished.
Crushed.
And I was like, I felt bad, and I was like, Bethel, just put your name, dude, because they're gonna be ones just like cheating with me.
Oh, you're like, just driving everybody.
Demolish.
Yeah, he put one on the green. We had
apparently I only won 1 out of 3. So
yeah, there it is. Tolly, let's get an update on you. What's up with the farm?
It's going great. We have an art show going on right now. So yeah, we got that going, and just brush hogging, getting all the weeds knocked down before it starts snowing here in the next month. Snow. 1 month for snow. 1 month.
Yeah, Ricky, we got a lot of golf lined up. Ricky was doing TV in Toronto. Thanks to everybody who kept sending the pictures of Ricky doing Sportsnet, right? Get it right?
Yeah.
It's Sportsnet. Who's this guy? People were sending pictures and tagging us. Appreciate you as always, everybody who sent it. And let's see. Here's an update on a couple of fans. Derek, who is Pantor4, said he listens from Panama. His parents are originally from Brampton, Ontario. He lives in Panama. I'm originally from Toronto, born to a Mexican mother, moved to Panama in 2013. Fun fact, I used to play softball with Carlos Lee. So he was playing softball with him.
The big caballo.
Yeah,
right?
Big caballo.
The caballo.
Yeah, el caballo. So I have photos to prove it. We believe you, Derek. He said, saludos from Panama. We also have, I can't find this guy's Instagram. I'm sorry. But there's a listener who is playing in a Swedish baseball league. He's listening to us, and there's a baseball league in Sweden with six teams, and he said he wants to send us shirts representing his team. I said, no problem. We'll hook it up. So saludos to the people in Sweden. So we got Sweden, Panama. We got Mexico listening. And also, of course, Blue Jay fans, UK. So we got the international breach going, Tolly. And, of course, we got upstate New York.
You guys think the people in Sweden are looking for a skipper? I can take a vacation.
Hey.
Hey, I'll go with you. I'll be the pitching coach.
Yeah, look at this. The 1-2 Ricky Rowe. Find out. It'll be a nice little vacation for us.
Well, I got to find his DM. Because hey, after
you know the Italian league, that I know a few guys that went up there and played in the Italian league. Scott Richmond actually went there and played in it, and he loved it.
Yeah, so totally, Richmond, what he would do is he would play Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Monday through Thursday, he was traveling all over Italy. They only play weekend games. And because he was a pitcher, he only went to the game he was pitching in.
Yeah, I love that.
Totally. You're going to tell me your wife and the daughters don't want to go and the boy won't
go? No, kid. It would be unbelievable. My wife is complaining because she's like, oh, we travel so much during your career. Now we're not traveling. So maybe if I can get something lined up in Sweden, let's go.
There it is. Tolly, we're going to get the Ricky Rowe podcast team. We'll call it the Tolly experience all over Europe. You play in Italy and you play in Sweden.
You're like, babe, I thought you didn't want to sniff an airplane.
Yeah, right.
Wait, Tolly.
Yeah, I mean, but oh, we go to Italy or Sweden, we'll be dialed in. Denmark, oh, boy.
Hey, seriously, Tolly, on the real.
Have a good time.
Would you take your family on an adventure like that?
100%.
Ricky.
You would.
Yeah, 100%.
I remember Cara said the same thing. She's like, if you're willing to like go, if you want to go play in Italy, and she's like, I would do it. She's like, we find a place to live. I'd find us a place to live, and hey, you do your thing, and we'll do our thing in Italy. And I'm like,
okay, twist my arm. Here we go.
But Ricky's arm's gonna hurt. Totally, you can still catch, right?
Yeah, I can still catch. I can still hit. Let me tell you, I've been running. I've been doing a little hitting, and yeah. It actually screwed up my golf swing. I lost my driver last week because I've been hitting off the tee so much. Just in case.
Ricky, let's get him going.
There's a possibility of a call, right?
Okay, you never know. You don't want to play independent ball. You've already been to Venezuela.
If an affiliated team called you right now, Josh, you'd go?
Oh, how many weeks are left? Yeah, I'd go.
Three weeks. Totally. Venezuela.
Hey, they're running a footballer somewhere there where there's like, hey, he's getting called up for his last
Super. Can you come and catch him?
Really? Yeah.
Sign me up. Give me a jersey. And let me tell you, unlike Manny, I would take every piece of gear I could get. Shot. Need another sweatshirt. This one doesn't fit, but I'll put it in my bag anyways.
Totally. Yep. Venezuela calls. Do you go?
No.
Okay. All right, Sweden and Italy. You know, we're going to get a bidding war between Sweden and Italy. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you, that's exactly why I wouldn't go, Ricky. Like, all I'm going to do is do harm to my my brand there. Like, I'm not going to hit 400 ever again. So I was like, I just take it and run with it.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin the statue building that they have
here. No.
What right about outside, right? What about to manage in Venezuela?
I would consider that.
Really?
Yeah, I'd consider that.
Tolly's got options. I like this. We're learning a new new side about Tolly. All right. Let's see. So this is pretty good. We're going to do it again next week. Now that the kids are back in school, things have calmed down for everybody.
Thank God. Let's talk about that real quick. The kids are back in school.
Go ahead, Tolly.
I loved hanging out with my kids. We had a wonderful time, but it is so nice to drop them off at 7:30 at school. And I have all afternoon to do my stuff.
Right? Yeah. Same way here. Our two boys are at school. Our little baby is the babysitter, and she hardly ever makes noise. So it's like, it actually, like, I like find myself kind of looking around. I'm like, what the hell should I do today?
Start farming.
Sorry.
Yeah, at the beach.
Hey, really quick, Beto.
Yeah.
I want to get. That question I told you on Twitter that I I just want to know a quick what Josh his thoughts on it. Josh, I tweeted this yesterday and people were going crazy, and you give me just a quick rundown. Really curious to hear what some of you have to say on this. If Vladdy wins the Triple Crown, is he the MVP? I understand what Otani is doing is special, but man, that's a Triple Crown.
No, he's a Triple Crown winner. You have to win the MVP, period. Black and white. He has to win the. If he wins the Triple Crown, he's the MVP.
And, you know, also what? Some people. The Angels suck. Who cares?
Well, some people made some good points. So they're like, all right, if you're going to give it to Otani, then he better win it every year if he's hitting 40 home runs and pitching. Like, because you're going based on just because he's pitching and hitting.
That's right.
Not even top 10 in pitching. Like, in a lot of categories, yes, he's hitting tanks. He's special by all means. You know, I love watching him play. I love what he's doing. Like, there's no doubt about that. But, man, like, if you're going to give it to him now and he does the same thing next year, do you give it to him again next year?
No.
You know, and so on and so forth. Like, yeah. I mean, a triple crown. Some people have been like, oh, a triple crown's been done before. And I'm like, okay, what Otani's doing, nobody's ever done it. And it's like, man, you know, a triple crown, that's so hard to do, man.
But also, Vladdy's doing it with a team that's fighting for a wild card spot that is in contention. Otani's doing it with a team where there's 5,000 people in the stands. Right now, for the Angels-A's game on Friday, you can go to that game for $2. $2 gets you – yep. $2 on game time, you can go. You pay more
$2?
You pay more in fees than you do in the actual ticket for Friday to see Otani against the A's. So, I mean, I love Otani. The day I went to go see him, I was like, oh, I was amazed. It's fantastic.
It's amazing. Yeah,
But Vladdy is doing it for a team that's in contention and in a tough-ass – division too. The AL East is
dogfight right now. Dogfight. Mm-hmm. Tampa, New York, hell, Boston. I mean, Baltimore is the only one that's really airmailed it in. I'm telling you, these next 2 weeks of baseball, this is when I lock it in. This is what I live for. This is crazy.
And Josh knows this, but it's crazy how we'll be there on the last day of baseball of the season, and there will be that one team that's like where it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. There it is.
Dude, somebody's going to lose by one game.
Yeah.
Or it's going to come into a tie and there's going to be game 163. Yeah. Just watch.
That's what I was kind of hoping for. I was like, the way the season's gone, it's been fun. It's to follow it, especially the Blue Jays a couple weeks ago. They were like pretty much like saying they're out of the playoff race. There's no way. And that's why I hate the whole like analytical side of it, the probabilities and this and that and looking ahead. I hate all that. You go out there and you play the game will reward you. In the right way. And, dude, they've gone on a run, and now all of a sudden we're talking about the Blue Jays possibly hosting the wild card game because they're leading it right now by one game. But so it's just crazy how baseball can change. And you know what? And in 2 weeks, it might not look like it is now, you know? So who knows what can happen? And this is, like Josh said, this is the fun part of baseball. And I kind of hope there is a 163 between two teams, you know, that just the way the season's gone, just to make it even more exciting, it would be cool, you know, to have 163, a team to just follow to get to the wild card game.
Yep, and normally we don't do this on the podcast where we tell more stories, but I'm going to say in 2 weeks, starting on the 28th, every Tuesday, we're going to actually break down the games, like actually talk baseball because it's a playoffs and it's timely. You guys down with that? Where we actually get like members of the media, we actually talk the breakdowns of what's coming on with the playoffs and everything else. And that right there is more. I'd rather talk about that than in July of like, what do you think? Like you said, Ricky, those analytics ones. So
nobody cares what you think in July, right? Yeah.
So
Ricky, real quick. Sorry, Beto.
No, we got time.
Hey, Otani, he's hitting 250. 259, 94 ribbies, I think 40 some homers. He's pitching. He's 9-2 with a 3.36. Like just because you play multiple positions or just because you pitch and hit, yes, an unbelievable feat. I don't take anything away. He's a great player. But when you look overall, like those are good numbers. Those aren't like a lot of guys have those numbers. Okay. Right? Yeah. A lot of guys are 9-2 with a 3.36.
Take away the pitching from Otani. He's not even in the MVP conversation.
That's exactly right. I was just thinking that to myself.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah, that's good. All right, so we will give you some real baseball breakdown in a couple of weeks. We'll have the podcast where I'm available. I cleared out my Tuesday, so we're ready to go now that football season is here because – football, they take Tuesdays off, so I have nothing to do. So we're here for you guys. Tully, are you in a fantasy league?
Yeah, I'm in a fantasy league. 1-0.
Attaboy.
Give me your team. Yeah. Read it off.
Wait, are you only in one league? Because Ricky's like in five.
Only one league. I didn't get invited. I didn't get invited in your league, so I just had to pick up some.
No! It was you had to draft in person, and you had to go with the hibachi guy.
And you had hibachi.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. You know what are you gonna do? Add tequila.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I can't pull it. I don't even know my team off. It was a random. It was a real quick draft. Eckler's my running back.
Good.
I don't know. Judy was one of my wide receivers, but now he's hurt. Odell Beckham's hurt. I'm just a roster of a mess right now. But I'm 1-0.
Believe it or not, Beto had the highest scoring week this week.
Yep. Really? Yeah, you know what I do because as the owner of my team, I drafted. Here's how I drafted. Because I didn't pay attention. I looked at Ricky's account, and I drafted like that. And we're good to go.
That's awesome. That's all I did.
All right, so for those of you guys wondering if I want to play Sunday Leagues with you, Montoya, no, we don't want to play Sunday Leagues with you. We will only play in Italy and in Sweden.
Sunday Leagues.
No Sunday Leagues. We don't need that. Let's see here. Camden Yards, good. Yes. All right, so anything else? Tully, we're good?
We're good.
It's a good podcast, man. I miss you guys. We'll do it again next week. As always, Ruben Polanco. Polanco, thanks for watching because you're supposed to be at work right now, but we need cigars, man. I told you this. We need some cigars. Cubans only.
Yeah. Well, my thing, my humidor is out, so I could use some myself.
There it is. Sure.
I'll get in my address.
We'll take care of you. All right, Ricky, Tully, appreciate you guys for remaining brave. I bet the rant. Thanks for watching another. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on, real quick. I forgot about this guy. Graham.
He's still there.
Graham, you good?
Hey,
when we're going to Italy, guys, it's all right.
Graham, tell us how good that was today.
That was money today. I loved money it all. Today.
Hey, Graham is still a little. He's still kind of
hungover.
Ohio State Oregon game, so he's feeling really really good right now.
Yeah, that's all right. It's what was that week two for you guys or week one?
Week two.
Yeah, Graham is ready.
Pac-12.
So Graham is going to go back to University of Oregon tomorrow. So this is the last podcast he's going to do with us from Long Beach. But you're going to try to help us out while you're in Eugene, right?
Definitely.
All right. So Graham is still going to help out. Graham has been here. Graham, what did you think of Manny Barreda?
That was amazing. I mean, obviously, he got to go to the Olympics. He just started his first game. But what really got me, the beer bath. I loved the beer bath story. With the relish and the mustard. I didn't know they did that. So that was very cool, a little behind the scenes.
Yeah. He was like, it's funny because he was like scared to share that story, like as if it was like an hit. Yeah. Like, no, the beer bath just happened with everyone. Everyone knows that. Yeah. I mean, it just happens. It didn't happen with me, though, so I don't know what the hell happened there, but whatever.
Well, we can get you one, Ricky. Yeah. Next time I see you.
No, we need one for Graham.
Yeah, we do need one for Graham.
You need to go party with him at Oregon.
Oregon is phenomenal here.
There you go. All right, so for Graham Metzger, Josh Tully, Manny Barreda, Ricky Romero, I'm Beto Duran. As always, go rate, review, subscribe. Appreciate you guys. And follow on the Instagram. Let's go, Ricky Rose, send the messages. And for the dude in Sweden, I'm sorry I did not save your name, but we will take the shirts. And if you're looking for a manager and a catcher, I got a guy. We'll see you next week. Let's go, Ricky Rowe.